He ran for statewide office in 2014. He has formed an exploratory committee to consider a statewide run in 2018. He's an immigration attorney. We welcome to the program Peter Lamage. Peter, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Peter, of course, in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Peter, first of all, talk about what you'd like to do, what your thoughts are, perhaps, in running for statewide office in 2018.
Well, we have established an exploratory committee for a statewide office, and that does not mean that we're excluding the possibility of running for the governor's office, because at this point, I firmly believe that our governor has become the governor of only two groups, and that is the governor of illegals and the unions. And what's happening in our state is a disgrace. If you start from Norwich to Bridgeport to Stamford, all we hear right now is that we have illegals, criminal illegals in our state who are committing these horrible crimes, and the governor has chosen not to enforce the law, not to comply with the federal law, and turn these people to ICE and deport them.
So you have not ruled out a run for governor?
That is correct, sir. However, we're still exploring.
Right. Now, Peter, you came to this country legally. Talk a bit about that.
Well, when my brothers and I decided to escape communist Albania, we chose the proper way of coming over here. Once we went to a refugee camp in what used to be Yugoslavia, we were processed properly, we were fingerprinted, background investigation was completed, and then we applied for a proper way of coming to the United States through the U.S. Embassy. That is the way that people should come to the United States legally, and I have no problems with legal immigration because I'm one of them who benefited from that. My family benefited from it, and I would support it as much as I can. But this illegal immigration, it is something that is harming our country, is harming our state, is harming our neighbors, and is harming our families, and it has to stop.
Peter, in just the last week, we have had a 26-year-old woman stabbed to death by an illegal immigrant, and now the story emerging on this 3-year-old girl who was raped on Wednesday night, allegedly by an illegal immigrant. What do you say to all of this?
Well, my heart really goes out to the victims of these horrible, horrible crimes that are being committed in our neighborhoods and our cities. Look, when you look at the case in Bridgeport, obviously the perpetrator of this crime had been known to the law enforcement agencies. He was removed from the United States. He came back to the United States illegally again. And we have an order issued by the governor of our state, pretty much telling law enforcement agencies, local police departments, and the state police not to cooperate with ICE, not to turn these people over and place immigration detainers on them so they can be removed. And I said before that our governor is really promoting chaos and lawlessness in our state, and is going to haunt him. Is coming back to haunt him.
Now, in the case of the suspect involving the 3-year-old rape victim on Wednesday night, the reports from the police are, and this is in the Stamford Advocate, that Douglas Hus Flores skipped an immigration hearing hours before in Hartford. Now, what typically goes on at one of these immigration hearings?
Well, what happens when someone comes to the United States illegally and somehow he or she's placed under proceedings, they get a notice to appear before an immigration judge. Most of the people, or a large number of the people who come here illegally, they completely ignore that notice to appear. They couldn't care less about that piece of paper. I mean, the fact that they came here illegally, that means that they are not willing to follow the law. They decided to enter here illegally, and that means that they are illegals, that they couldn't care less as to whether you're giving them a piece of paper or notice to appear or immigration judge schedules a hearing for these people. So what happens is that if they feel safe in a community like our communities, where we call them sanctuary cities, where they know that they are safe and that the police are not going to turn them in, usually they choose a state or a place where they can sort of blend in and live there fearlessly. And that's what happened with our sanctuary cities in our state. Now, to enforce that notice to appear after the judge issues an order, in absentia order, to remove this individual from the United States, if the local police department is not going to cooperate with ICE, it is going to be almost impossible for ICE to detain and remove all these illegals that we have in our country.
So obviously you do need the help of the local police department.
Well, that's no question about it. The federal law precludes states from passing laws that directly impinges on this area of federal domain, because immigration is a federal domain, is a federal law. The debate that we're having right now is who has the power, how is the power allocated between the three branches of the government, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. But as far as admission, removal, and naturalization of non-American-born citizens, it is a federal matter. It's not a state matter. And in 1952, Congress passed the Immigration Nationality Act, which expressly authorizes the president to suspend immigration of any person, class of people, or group of people into the United States for public health, public safety, and national security reasons. And that's what's lacking right now, or at least it's not at this point, but for the past 8 years, this law was not properly enforced, and we emboldened illegals and criminals to move into our neighborhoods because we didn't enforce the law.
So now in the case of this suspect who allegedly raped this 3-year-old girl in Stamford, he doesn't show up at this immigration hearing on Wednesday. What happens next in court or with the law? What's the next step?
Well, it's pretty much nothing happens after that. I mean, the judge issues an absentia order, meaning that the alien didn't show up for the hearing. And but that means is that at one point he may be picked up and removed from the United States. But the priorities that we have right now with ICE, usually they start with the individuals that are a threat to the national security. Then you would go to the lower level, if you will, where you have people who committed crimes, felonies such as armed robberies, rapes, you name it. And then you go to a lower level where it's, lower crimes. But the deportation orders, which are at the bottom of this scale, if you will, they are the last ones to be removed from the United States. However, if they were detained by the local police department and an immigration detainer is placed on their file, then ICE has to be notified by the local police departments or state police departments so they can be picked up and removed from the United States. Now that link, that connection between the local police departments, especially in our state or the sanctuary city, and the ICE enforcement agency, it's missing. There's no cooperation. And that's why these individuals who are committing these crimes, they feel safe in our communities.
You know, that's a great point. So essentially, after this court hearing, though, do the courts then submit a list to ICE or to local law enforcement? Is there a list involved of those who didn't attend this hearing?
I generally speaking, yes, and there is a great communication or cooperation between the immigration court and ICE. But the problem is that even though someone who comes here illegally and has a notice to appear, at one point, they will provide an address as to where they're going to be residing. By law, they are required to complete a form called AR-11, notifying the court that they have moved if they move. But most of these people, they couldn't care less about filing a change of address or notifying the government that they are relocating.
Okay, Peter, hold those.
ICE will not have an updated list of these, new addresses.
Oh, okay, so ICE wouldn't have gotten a list following that hearing on Wednesday.
That is correct.
In our Touch Points Rehab interview chair is Peter Lamage, an attorney, came to this country legally, ran for statewide office in 2014, considering a statewide run again in 2018, and he hasn't ruled out running for governor. Peter, critique the performance of Governor Malloy.
Well, Governor Malloy at this point, I mean, has become the governor of illegals and the unions. All he cares about at this point is promoting actions and acts which, from my point of view, and many residents in our state, they are illegal. Look, we started by issuing driver's licenses to illegals. Then we made certain cities sanctuary cities. Then we provided in-state tuition to illegals. Now we're talking about the possibility of providing financial aid. It really pays off to be an illegal in our state. Does he care about the residents, the citizens of this state? Does he care about the middle class? Does he care about our neighbors and our neighborhoods? Does he care about the inner cities? I don't see him caring about that. All he cares about is the unions. He wants to make sure that he gets reelected and he promotes his agenda at this point. And he's the governor of himself. I mean, all he cares about is himself to be reelected again and just promote his agenda. So he's a complete failure when it comes to the middle class in our state. You see businesses leaving. You see individuals leaving. You know, our state is in shambles. Our unfunded liabilities at this point are at over $60 billion. I mean, you know, where is this money going? What's going on with our state? And if we don't stop in 2018, I think both you and I and others are going to have to reconsider as to whether we can live in the state or not.
Peter, if you were governor, how would you handle this situation with the state budget deficits, that area?
Well, first of all, we're going to have to promote growth. Without growth, we cannot do anything in our state. Then for regulations, which we have become a regulatory state, we're going to have to pass for every regulation that would be passed in Hartford. I think that I would repeal at least three of them to make sure that we free the businesses, we free the individuals. Then when you talk about taxes, look at the amount of taxes that we pay. Everything that we do in our state is somehow taxed. I believe that any individual who files either jointly or by himself or herself and doesn't report more than $100,000 a year should not pay state income tax. And eventually the state income tax is going to have to be phased out. Look how much money we have collected as a state from 1991 when we passed the state income tax. And what did we do with it? We still are, you know, in huge debts, and we're not really allowing the middle class to prosper in our state. I mean, in 1992, there was a plan that was pretty much created to pay the unfunded pensions by 2032. But then in mid-1990s, our lawmakers, as genius as they are, they agreed that they are going to lower the payment and they are going to defer the payments at that time to pay it later. Now, what happened is that later has come now, and we're going to have to make those payments, and we just cannot make them, and we're at the point of collapse.
Peter, let me get this straight. You would be open to considering a phase out of the state income tax?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A phase, a state income tax, I think if we start by lowering it incrementally within 7 to 8 years, I think we should do away with it. Because just think about this. When we passed this in 1991 until present, we have collected, I believe, over $192 billion from state income tax. Yet if you look at the poverty rate in our state has increased, unemployment has increased, services have decreased. Our state has not improved because of the income tax that we collected, the state income tax that we collected. As a matter of fact, I think it's harming us, because what happens with our lawmakers, especially the liberals and Daniel Malloy, they are addicted to taxation. It is like drug addiction. And if you don't remove the drugs from the addicted individual, you're not going to be able to cure him or her. Now, if you remove taxes, that's the lifeblood for the liberals. And if we remove the taxation from them and the power to tax us, I think we can turn this thing around. We can save our state.
I want to get back to the immigration issue. What would you do to the cities that have declared themselves sanctuary cities? If you were governor, what steps could you take?
It's very simple. You cut funding. Mm-hmm. There is no other answer to it. The state law would supersede the local laws. The federal law supersedes the state law. These are constitutional matters, and you just cut funding to them. They are going to have to cooperate with ICE. They are going to have to turn these individuals in. If we find out that in our community we have a criminal who is harming our neighbors, we just have to turn them in and deport them. So funding would be the first thing that I would cut to them.
Now, you have represented immigrants in court cases. Is that correct?
It is correct.
Well, what usually goes on in these instances?
Well, the field that I'm involved in, I deal with a number of petitions, family petitions, who are joining U.S. citizens here in the legal way. Now, the other part of my practice deals with political asylum cases, people who are being harmed in various countries where human rights are not respected. If we're dealing with someone's religion, for example, and he or she's being discriminated because of their Christianity, and they would come to the United States and apply for political asylum, I would represent them on those bases that they were harmed or discriminated because of their religion or race or political opinion or membership in a particular group. So what happens is that some of these cases wind up in front of a judge, and the government attorney and I would, you know, argue the case, and the judge decides as to whether, you know, he or she, the individual who's applying for political asylum, has the right to remain in the United States. But everything is done in a proper way with these individuals. It's not that they are sneaking into the country and trying to remain illegal here. They are pursuing a way of legalizing themselves through the proper procedures and laws that we have here.
Now, I'm sure you would agree when it comes to the left in this country, what they attempt to do is lump immigrants who have come to this country legally, those who have sought asylum legally, with those who have come here illegally. They try to lump all of that together. Isn't that correct?
Well, they do, but there is a major difference between the two. When someone comes to the United States because they are seeking freedom, they are running away from oppression, they are trying to save their lives, these people want to become Americans. They want to embrace the American values. They want to embrace the Judeo-Christian values of this country. They want to learn the language. They want to be part of our society. Whereas illegals and some other groups at this point, they're not coming to the United States with the intent of being Americans. They are coming to the United States with the intent of taking advantage of what we have to provide to them. And they are even trying to impose their values that they are bringing with them upon you and I. Instead of assimilating and being Americans, they are asking you and I and others to become what they are. And immigration was never meant to be that way. I mean, when my brothers and I came to the United States, I remember my father, before he passed away in a labor camp, in a concentration camp, he told us that if you ever make it to freedom, and if you ever make it to the United States, you make sure you become Americans. Do not try to make Americans or turn Americans into Albanians. It just doesn't work that way. If I love those values and that you know, oppression so much, I could have stayed over there. But I chose to come over here to become an American. And in those days, those things are not being followed properly by certain groups and certain immigrants nowadays. I mean, they have chosen not to become Americans.
Peter, when immigrants come to this country and we hear anecdotal evidence about what federal and state programs they can become a part of, what is available legally for immigrants in this country?
Oh, it's a lot. And whoever becomes a victim of the government over here, when they first come to the United States, they're going to be trapped into those programs for the rest of their lives. I remember when my family and I came here at JFK, the first thing that they offered us, they asked us to complete a bunch of forms to receive welfare. And at that time, we didn't even know what that meant. So one of my brothers, Tony, actually asked the interpreter, what is this supposed to mean? And we were told that we would receive government assistance for a while or for, you know, long time. So we turned that down because we told them we didn't come here for government handouts. We came here for the American dream. And if you become part of the government assistance, you can never pursue the American dream. And I would recommend to anyone who comes to the United States legally and has the option of, or the opportunity of pursuing their American dream, instead of being dependent on the government assistance, choose the American dream.
Mm-hmm. Because the cost to our social services, I don't have to tell you, the cost is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, as I told you before, what happened with the recent arrival of refugees and immigrants in the United States, they are not coming here for the American dream. They are not coming here to become Americans. They are coming here to pursue the benefits that we offer to them. This is the problem that you face in Europe right now. They have become socialistic. People are going over there for the benefits, and they are doing the same thing in the United States. Why should people work if the government, through the taxpayers' money, is providing for their housing, health care, you name it? I mean, I pay for my health care right now, and my wife and I think if we pay about $600 a month to have the Obamacare or whatever we have, whereas an immigrant who chooses to be on welfare, they will get it for free because you and I will pay for it. So this is the difference between the prior immigration, legal immigration, and the current one. The prior ones, they came here with the intent of being Americans, embracing the American dream, pursuing something greater than a check from the government. Nowadays, they're going for the check from the government.
Peter, before we let you go, what is Fresh Start 4, and that's the number 4, Fresh Start 4 CT?
Well, our state is going to have a fresh start. The failed liberal policies implemented in Hartford are failing you and I and the taxpayers in our state. I firmly believe that Hartford has to be dismantled. And what I mean by that is that career politicians who have taken this state into this disaster are going to have to be removed from there. And anyone who is going to be part of the statewide campaign in 2018 and be lucky enough to be the next governor of the state should move to Hartford with the intent of dismantling those failed liberal policies. And that's what it means. We're going to have to start afresh.
Okay. Peter, thanks for spending some time with us. We'll talk down the road. You be well.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.